I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
My name is Samantha Garner, and I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm a Cheeselandian because I take cheese seriously, just like they do in Wisconsin. Go to Cheeselandia.com to learn more, and if it's for you, sign up.
This week on Meat and Three, we're talking about the United States' biggest crop. It's corn.
They will always tell you that corn is like their family. Corn is their family. You treat corn like you would treat your family.
These subsidy programs are supposed to be for really dealing with unexpected things that happen to farmers. Although in practice, a lot of times, farmers are actually paid farm subsidies for things that we can control and do expect.
There's this constant warfare going on between the oil industry and the grain industry.
Tune in to Meat and Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Cooking Issues. This is Dave Arnold, your host of Cooking Issues, coming to you live on the Heritage Radio Network every Tuesday from whenever to whenever. I'm here in the Lower East Side. Booker did not want to deal with the intro today, so he's literally, because he's on vacation, he's not in school, he's like, I'm taking the train. I'll be back when I'm back. And he left.
What do you think? And today is your birthday.
What's up?
Yay.
What's Woo. Up, babe?
How old are you, Dave?
50 years closer to the box.
No.
Listen.
Yeah.
By the way, in case this is the first time any of you is hearing this, we also have, we got Matt in his Rhode Island hidey hole. We got Nastasia on the beautiful Long Island Sound. And we got John's back in the great city of New York in his Murray Hill ensconcement, right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So John has what would have been like a cool, I've never actually seen his apartment, so I'm making this all up. But like, I think it's nice in that he has some sort of like outdoor roof access, except for the majority of time that he was there during the COVID, they were doing asbestos abatement. So he was like sealed into a loud bubble of asbestos. Is that true?
Well, I wasn't sealed in a bubble with asbestos. I was sealed in a bubble to protect me from the asbestos.
Yeah, it was
really miserable. I had no natural light coming in for a lot of the early months of COVID. It was really depressing.
He's like, sweet, I have like my own like almost like little outdoor space, and I'm like way up high. I can see everything. And then all of a sudden, oh, wait, we're plastering over your windows. And brr, 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 brr. For any of you that have never lived in New York, one of the joys of New York is the hammer drilling that, like, makes it through every corner of every building here, right?
Yep.
It's horrible.
Everyone the time. Oh, the hammer
drilling. It feels like it's in your head, in your mouth, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know what the miracle of hammer drilling is? Is that especially with, like, New York City concrete-style buildings, is that, like, let's say you are the hammer driller. No one in the building can figure out exactly where you are because it's loud everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, travels through the whole building. It's crazy, you know? I don't know. Whatever. 50 years. 50
what did
years
you
old.
Do?
When?
Well, for you. Well, this weekend, last night. I sent Dave.
It's my birthday tonight.
Dave some champagne last night to drink on the show. Well, to drink half of it last night and then half on the show, which was what the message said, and apparently your 16-year-old son received it.
Yeah. So, no, like, message. true to New York style, a man. So, like, I'm on, like, you know, one of, you know how, like, now that, like, with Zoom, like, people assume that you can Zoom at any hour of the day or night. So I'm on an actual, like, meeting at like 8 for my other son Booker, and Dax hears a ding dong, goes over. Dude just hands a bottle of bubbly to my 16-year-old.
He could
with
have been
no message,
a
no
party.
Nothing.
Like, he could have been having. Well, now you know. Well, now he knows.
Yeah.
Delancey Wines.
Yeah. Do we want to shout out the company
out
so that all the 16-year-olds?
Yeah. You're on an underage party.
Yeah.
What do you think the limit is? Like, will they roll a keg in and just hand it to a 16-year-old?
I think they'll do anything.
Let's just see how well you guys remember Home Alone. This is Dave Arnold, the father. And then you call them in order that way, and they'll just, roll booze. And that's what Macaulay Culkin was like, this is the father, when he was, calling for his, whatever, his room service in Home Alone 2 when he was in the hotel at the plaza. No memories. All right.
So what did you do?
Well, so on Saturday night was when I went out with Jen, and we went to Keen's. First time ever. First time indoor eating for the whole pandemic.
How was the experience indoors?
I mean, it was good. It was great. They had spit guards up between the tables, so it was like eating out. First of all, like I said on the show many times, quote unquote outdoor eating here in New York is not, in fact, outdoors. People build garages, and then you eat inside of this garage and or greenhouse with spit guards between you and the next person. So it's outdoor in name only, right? So Jen was a little nervous, and we were next to a window, but we opened the window and said she felt better. But it's great. I've never been in with all those pipes. So, for those of you who have never been to Keen's, famous steakhouse known for its mutton chops, which I had. Jen did not have the mutton chop. I thought it was very, very good. The way the mutton chop works, for those of you that are asking, first of all, it didn't taste super old. It was just not lamb anymore, right? So it wasn't super young, right? But it didn't taste like it was a 5-year-old thing. It just tasted kind of a beefier lamb. But the fun thing about it is it looks like someone handed the butcher a whole sheep, and then they were just like, I don't know. And they put the sheep on a bandsaw and were like, neat, 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 because you have the rib bone goes right through the center of it. And then you have the two chops to the side of the rib bone. And then you have the flap of meat all the way around to the belly. And they just cooked the whole damn thing. So, I mean, maybe it started as laziness and turned into a thing. Who knows?
So you didn't like it?
No, I loved it. That was great.
Okay.
And then on the ceiling, they have all these clay pipes. Colonial Williamsburg style clay pipes. You know what I'm talking about, Stas?
Yes, I've been there.
Oh, did you like it?
Yeah, I've been there. Yeah, we used to go to the bar a lot.
Oh, yeah, I hear they have great cocktails. I didn't have a cocktail when I was there. You know what's weird? I lived 2 blocks from there for 5 years and I never went. I guess we didn't have any money when I was
there. Yeah, I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah, but so
not that we have money now. Boom.
Well, especially, we'll get into it with the Amazon stuff. But for those of you who've never been, on the ceiling is all of these like Colonial Williamsburg pipes, hanging from little hooks with numbers on them. So up until 1978, you could become a member and you would have your pipe and you would smoke it. And then at the front, they have a bunch of these pipes with the names of the people underneath it. So of course, Douglas MacArthur, the general, of course, because he was such a vain D-bag, his pipe was all ornamented. He couldn't just have a plain pipe like everyone else. But right to the right of MacArthur's pipe and up one in the display, Rube Goldberg's pipe. And so I'm sitting there cracking wise like I always do. I'm like, hey, Rube Goldberg has a plain pipe. What's up with that? And then the guy, literally without missing a beat, the guy at the front was like, yeah, but you should have seen the contraption we had to use to get it off of the ceiling. And I was like, boom, 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 boom. I love anyone. First of all, you don't even think of Rube Goldberg as a real guy. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Do you think of Rube Goldberg as a real guy?
You mean because the name sounds crazy?
No, because he's a thing. It's a Rube Goldberg. Yeah. It's a Rube Goldberg this, it's a Rube Goldberg that. It's not Dr. Seuss I think of as a real author. Rube Goldberg I don't think of as a real person. I definitely don't think of him eating mutton and smoking a pipe and pounding cocktails. You know what I mean?
I failed to realize it was, it was named after some guy walking around building contraptions.
I believe he was a cartoonist. I believe his stock in trade was a cartoonist. And he was maybe 2 levels above the Family Circus guy, which for anyone who remembers comics, Family Circus is just, I don't even know why that thing existed.
So you went there, then what else?
So I went there. Well, I mean, whatever. That was Saturday, Sunday. My mother-in-law sent me a incredible cheese selection from Jasper Hills. And actually, it's literally called the Baller Cheese Box. Get it? Cheese ball, ball box, cheese baller box. Anyway, so it's like this giant box of mostly Jasper Hill with other stuff like Cabot. And it's like all semi-eco-packed, so like wood shavings instead of plastic on the inside. And so we've had cheese for days. I baked some bread. My wife just got me the Como. I now have a Como Mio mill. So like, you know, Nastasia can hear about milling for the next, you know, million years. I got some new wheat in, Nastasia. You'll be glad to know. Some new soft wheat, some new corn.
Who got you that?
Interested in corn? I bought the wheat and corn. Oh. My wife bought me the mill. I bought the wheat and corn.
What are you doing tonight?
I also got a new Detroit-style pizza pan. I don't know. Dax is cooking. Ooh. I thought I was going to cook. I was like literally like, I was like, all right, time to grind the flour. I'll make some stuff. And then Jen's like, by the way, Dax has dinner tonight. And like, I'm like happy, but nervous a little too.
Why? You know what I mean? Just let him, well, who cares? It's one day, like one day.
No, not about the food. It's like, I wonder what the kitchen's going to look like afterwards. It's like when Booker, when you know, Booker, quote unquote, you know, when Booker bakes, it's like, you know, the kitchen is
I
like,
think at 50,
I have a large sink. I have a large sink, people.
At 50, and like, you should hire somebody to clean the kitchen once for your birthday. After your son comes.
Yeah, birthday gift. Birthday gift. Yeah.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is this. The rule that I like to have is that if I kneel down with my eyes level to the sink, I don't want to see dishes above that eye line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that's the goal. Tomorrow, the Booker and Dax crew, we're going to go out.
Where are we going, John?
Racine, downtown.
But it's not named after Racine, Wisconsin. All right, and this weekend I'm going up to Connecticut. So it's a fun-filled birthday / almost Easter time, right? When's Easter? Is it this weekend or the next weekend or the weekend after that?
I don't like Easter. Weekend.
Why don't you like Easter? What's with Easter?
No. I mean, it's very religious.
Well, only if you're religious. Otherwise, it's another good meal to have with the family.
And an excuse to dye eggs.
Yeah, you know,
Kate dyed some eggs.
Do you know, Aria? How are they?
They're great. You know, depending on the color, it seeps through a little bit, but it's a good time.
Do you know what Nastasia Lopez introduced me to? And there's still time, people.
And they're $1.99 at Michael's right now.
I saw that. I bought a couple.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Cascarones. Nastasia Lopez introduced me to the joys of smashing an eggshell on your friends' heads. I think I do it too hard, though.
I'm sure you do.
I mean, I do it real hard. Are you gentle do you do it real hard?
Listen to this. I went to Michael's. They're having the Easter sale, which was 50% off, right?
Everyone loves Michael's. By the way, we're a Michael's crew here. We like Michael's.
So everything Easter was 50% off. So I got the Star Wars Easter eggs because my friends with babies are coming over to Easter egg hunt. So I got the Star Wars Easter eggs, but those rang up regular price. And I said to the lady, these are Easter eggs. They should be 50% off like everything Easter. And she said, nope. And I said, but it says Easter eggs on here. And she said, they're not Easter. And then I said, well, I better see them at Christmas. And I left.
This is a very Nastasia story. I enjoy it.
I knew you'd
enjoy it.
I mean, you know why? Because they were Disney and like,
yeah.
Disney does not give discounts. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, but like.
Thank God you played hardball with your local Michaels. You got to show them who's boss.
They are literally Easter, though. So I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Like, and also she didn't give an explanation. She just said no. Like,
yeah. First of all, and like, Nastasia is not one to let that kind of stuff drop. I mean, like, come on, people. I mean, like, you don't even need to know Nastasia. Like, if you say something to her, she's going to put the look on her face. And you know that you're not
crap,
getting out of this unscathed.
That's some real crap.
That's filth. That's garbage. It should say, except for Disney crap.
Right.
Like, if there's going to be an exclusion, it should say, except for Disney crap.
Yeah.
Or it should say 50% off most Easter crap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did your mom make those first cascarones that we had at the FCI?
Or did she buy it? I don't remember, but we've done both. I don't remember which ones those were.
Okay, so people, if you've never had one of these, like, again, this is one of the joys of life that Nastasia has introduced me to. And she's had me make them, too. We never made them together, though, did we?
I don't think so.
So you crack out the bottom of an egg, shake out the egg, use it for something else, or throw it away if you're a Jamoke. Let it dry, fill it, like not fill it, but like put confetti in, and then put crepe paper over the hole, and then smack it over. You know, with Elmer's.
The best thing is to introduce somebody to them by, like, pretending it's an egg. You know, you put them in the carton, and then, or they come in a carton, and then you pretend it's a real egg, and then you're like, whoa, and then yeah,
bam,
yeah.
Real messy. May I suggest doing it outside unless you have someone coming over to clean up your birthday house? Because, oh, hey, did you hear this? Last time I was at Michael's, I didn't know this, but apparently glitter is canceled.
Yeah, it's... They said some racial slurs that glitter.
No, apparently, like, I don't know, glitter like Fs with, I don't know. Like, I was at a store the other day, and I was like, do you have glitter? Because I needed it for a project that we're working on here. I need to like motion track liquids. And so like I needed something that was shiny so I could see it moving around. I was like, do you have glitter? And they looked at me like I had just destroyed the entire environment. They were like, no.
We don't say that anymore.
No. Do you have glitter? No. Not anymore. And I was like, oh, geez. All right. Okay. Goodbye. You know, and then I ordered some online. Because I needed the glitter. You know what I mean? I don't know. But have you heard this? Have any of you heard this?
No.
I know it's a big thing to use biodegradable glitter if you're using glitter nowadays. But
Well, yeah. It doesn't really work in a snow globe, does it? You don't want your biodegradable glitter degrading in your snow globe. What a terror show that would be. Like, imagine, like if you imagine your little Santa figure, like, coming alive and be like, ah, no! And, like, the goop and all this stuff, like, all over them. Or, like, the Empire State Building being coated in biodegradable glitter goop. I mean, yeah.
Too bad this Is Your Life show.
Yeah. Well, that's a, you know, we'll do a different show. We'll do a different show for that. By the way, in my family, and maybe one of you will use this at some point in your life, so, you know, we're very kind of strict about when different things for sale come out in stores, like holiday crap, the seasonal item in your local CVS and or Rite Aid and or Walgreens and or whatever, wherever you have your shopping for, you know, garbage. And years and years ago, we still say it to this day, years and years ago, I walked in to a Rite Aid in early February and the Easter garbage was already out because I think it was an early Easter that year. And lady next to me goes, Easter, it ain't even Valentine's over yet. And so we use that whenever anything comes out too early. It's not Valentine. First of all, it's not St. Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day. It's the time of Valen. Valentine's over yet. It ain't even Valentine's over yet. Like that. So we use that all the time. Whenever something comes out a little bit too early. Oh, you know what? Another thing we did for the Easter slash spring season this year, Nastasia, we made again, and I haven't made it in, I'm going to want to say 20 years, panoramic Easter eggs. Love panoramic Easter eggs. You don't like panoramic Easter eggs?
Not really.
Wait, what?
What are you
what
not?
What am I looking at if I'm looking at a panoramic Easter egg?
A freaking bunny inside of the egg.
Like a. Didn't you have to make panorama boxes in grade school? No?
Oh, diorama.
Diorama, what? Sorry.
Well, they're called panoramic eggs. You look, basically, it's like a sugar shell. It's like a sugar shell in the shape of an egg with a window. And royal icing piped around it to, like, put the two halves of the eggs together. And inside of it is like whatever. Like
you,
we have
you
birds
made one
and
of these?
Fish. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven treats. Made seven of them. Jeez. May I just say, I haven't made them in many years. Like I said, I was gonna make them years ago, and I made the shells, but we never got around to decorating them. And then there was a leak, and then they got ruined, so I threw them away. So Jen was like, "We're gonna do it this year. Make the windows in the front a little bit bigger than you'd think." So what you do is you get an egg mold. Egg mold. I did that for any John Waters fans out there. Oh, egg mold. Are any of you guys John Waters people?
No.
Oh, my God. You've never seen any of the John Waters movies?
Yeah.
No.
Mm. Okay. Jesus.
Go on.
Okay. So it's a mix of like granulated sugar, powdered sugar, egg white, right? And then you make it into this coarse kind of sandy stuff. Then you pack it into your egg mold halves. You unmold it onto like a piece of cardboard. You let it dry for like, the hard part, you got to pack it in nice or you get little divots and pockmarks. You let it dry for like 45 minutes, hour, pick it up and you scoop out the center because the outside's firm, and then you let it dry for a couple of hours. Oh, you should also, before it gets too dry, carve out the hole where the window is going to be, and I would make that bigger than you think because it gets real dark inside of the egg. And then, you know, do whatever you want. Jen decided this year that we weren't going to go edible on the inside of the egg, so it's more like sphagnum moss for stuff instead of just straight icing on the inside. But it's cool. I like them.
Dave, panoramic eggs. You know what I remembered? I threw your 40th birthday. Remember that?
Oh my God, what a craptastical show that was. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Some of my finest work.
Oh, geez, Louise. Like there was we had an intern whose name was Dave Thomas. Not Dave Thomas, the dead Wendy's hamburger guy.
I don't remember this.
You remember this. So like there was this picture. So Dave Chang was there.
Oh no.
And Nils. And like a bunch of people, right? Jeremy Tomchek, a bunch of like chefs were there. And you were like, Dave, get in the picture. And he's like, I'm Dave. And he jumps in. And we're like, all right. Remember that? That was amazing.
Yes.
That picture's great.
I cleaned up Fabulous's vomit at the end of the night. That was real bad.
It was a rough night.
Rough night.
Did anyone have the heart to tell Dave the intern that he wasn't the intended Dave?
I think it was all right. I think it was.
God, Dave.
And
we were doing skulls
mm-hmm. that night.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. The best picture from that night is one like three quarters of the way in where we were still and like all like we're all wearing like suits and like but like the all of our ties are basically down. It's very. Good times, great oldies. Good times, great oldies.
It's too bad. Oh wow, these birds are looking at me from outside. It's really weird.
Well, are they birds or are they seagulls?
Sparrows.
Okay, that's fine. If a seagull staring at you in the face, you gotta go lighthouse on them. If any of you have seen the movie The Lighthouse. There is a scene with a one-eyed seagull, and let me just say it does not end well.
I was saying it's too bad we can't do a blowout party for your 50th this year.
I know a lot of things are too bad, but you know
celebrate later in LA this year, like do one of our crappy LA parties,
our sub parties. If anyone has interest in attending a sub party
or funding a sub party.
Yeah,
brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are ready to throw that sub party.
Listen, Nastasia, I need you to, before we get off this, since I know you're on your internet machine anyway, we need to buy that domain sub party if it doesn't
exist. It exists.
Because we need to have trademarked the sub party.
The thing that I want Jamie Foxx to throw our sub party. That would be great.
Well, that's quite an ask you have there, Nastasia.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I don't know why he would do that.
I don't know.
Nastasia's obsessed with Jamie Foxx throwing a fancy party for not very much money back when he was poor. Why would he do that now that he's like super rich?
I don't know. I mean, I also heard he's playing somebody really awesome in a movie. Oh, Mike Tyson. No, never mind.
Wow. Okay. We know how you feel about Mike Tyson.
I watched that fight.
when they introduced the latest round of like novelty domain endings, I think dot party was one of them. So you guys could get
sub dot party. Oh my God. That'd be so amazing.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I had someone write in, by the way, as an actual question. Somebody wrote in on Twitter. I'll answer it here. They were grinding their own stuff. So earmuffs for a second, Nastasia. And they had a bad result when they were doing polenta. And I think one of the main things people don't understand with flour in general is damaged starch and the effect of fines in certain recipes. So for something like polenta, you don't want a lot of fines or corn flour or damaged starch. And so if you were having problems when you were grinding your stuff with corn, that's probably it.
The domain does not. We should buy it.
Buy it. Do it now. Before somebody who's hearing our voice does it. Yeah.
Yeah, you're now racing 12 listeners.
Yeah. Okay, Nastasia, hurry up. I'm going to be talking about carbonation and grinding flour for the next 3 minutes.
Yeah. Gives her something to do.
All right, here's a theory, though. Here's a theory. Remember when we were doing the COVID and the anosmic COVID Megillah? Right? It struck me, you know how people lose their sense of taste and smell with the COVID? So it struck me that I got takeout like 5 months ago from a restaurant, and it was terrible, terrible. Had no flavor.
God, Dave. It's what? $700 for Sub.Party.
What? Yeah. Why?
I think because it's just an awesome name. Yeah. It's a premium domain, it says.
No, we're not premium people, so. No one pays a premium for a Sub.Party. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Maybe Jamie Foxx will pick it up.
No. You know what? When he does host that party, everyone's going to eat their words.
Sargon says it's 500 on Google domains. Ooh. It's coming down.
What do you
authorize?
No. We're not actually going to use it. Listen. When I eat my words, am I allowed some form of sauce?
No.
Let me ask you this. Have the words come out of my mouth and like sat in a cup and dehydrated and gotten that dehydrated spit smell when I eat them? Or are they fresh words?
No. The former.
Okay, I'm going to say this only once. And if any of you are eating, put on earmuffs right now.
Oh, God, Dave, don't. What? It's going to be gross, isn't it?
The worst smelling thing I've ever smelled is not the Surstromming. It was in college when someone said they would drink a cup of spit and the spit cup went around and then everyone spat in it. And when it came around to me, I smelled it. It was the worst smell ever.
Ooh, yeah. Were you pledging a fraternity or what?
No. It was for money and we didn't let him do it. We did not let him do it. I smelled it and I was like, you're not doing this. This is not happening.
So he didn't do it.
No, he didn't do it.
Oh my God.
It's probably good. It would have been patient zero for some other pandemic.
No, but I used to I never did it for kudos. I did stuff for money. Like I drank a gallon of salsa for like, I think $5.
That's not bad. And you also did milk or something, right? And then
a gallon's a lot. No, I never did the milk challenge. I've seen people do the milk challenge. I've seen people successfully get a gallon of milk down, but not hold it down.
Oh, that's when you got effed by the guy, right?
No. That one, he drank. So this guy I knew, we had stolen from the dining hall a gallon of cooking wine, Petri Brava, the Brave Stone. And, this guy said he could drink this whole gallon of wine in an hour. And we're like, we can't because that's enough alcohol to kill you. And you're a lightweight anyway. So I was like, I'll take that bet because, you'll be dead. I won't have to pay you anyway. Right. And he did it, but he had secretly replaced the wine with water beforehand for a different prank he was planning on doing. So he was punished. You know what I mean? Like, because that's welching. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that's not cool.
Yes.
Not cool. Yes. All right, hold on. So back to what I was saying. So during the pandemic, we get this relatively new restaurant, food, abysmal, no flavor at all, like completely like underflavored. Here's my theory. Maybe the chef was experiencing post-COVID like taste problems and could not judge the flavor of what they were putting out. You think that's possible?
I don't know.
If anyone has had an experience where they think their chef has no sense of taste anymore, if any of you want to follow up on the show we did about losing sense of taste.
It's probably a McGee question, though.
No, I mean, I'm saying for people out there, how many restaurants can Harold eat at? I'm saying, do you think this has happened to you?
So everybody knows I posted the Harold video that everyone loves today.
Zoltar?
Yeah. Well, the one where the meat falls and then Zoltar.
No, it's classic. Yeah. So fabulous, which is, Fabian Von Hausky and Jeremiah Stone, who has a dog named, by the way, for Japanese food names, we have two in our friends and family zone. We have two dogs named after K-starting Japanese
food.
What
is yours called?
Koji.
Hey, Koji.
Yeah. And and Jeremiah Stone's dog is Kombu. But Jeremiah's dog looks like one of these, like, you know how, like, certain animals, like whippets and whatnot, have like some sort of genetic problem where they can't put fat on. So like they're always shaking because like they're cold because they have no fat.
I don't know what I'm talking about? No.
Yeah.
So, so he has something that looks like almost like a pit mix, but with that shaking issue.
You know what I'm saying? Is it a mutt?
I have no idea. I have no idea. But anyway, it's named Kombu and it's always shaking. But it's like all—it's like only muscles and bones. Did you know that there's a Belgian breed of pig called the, I'm going to mispronounce it for you because that's what I do to other, to French words, pie train or something like this. And Pietrain, something like this. I believe it's Belgian. And it's a double-muscled pig with very low fat. And they quite often just drop dead. They just like, boom and drop over dead because like it's just too much stress on their system to have all of that muscle and like not enough fat.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like they're there once. You know, you walk up, you're like, boo pig! And it's like, over, down. Yeah. So, and a lot of farm animals with the double muscled trait, super lean, have that sudden death kind of a problem. Yeah. Yeah. Just that's a little FYI for all of you guys if you're planning on raising them. Yeah.
I talked to the TP people. They said it's fine.
So, Anastasia Lopez.
Dave gave me. Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about it. Anastasia Lopez, as many of us have, I can't. Have had TP dreams. So, go ahead.
Explain. So, I got a TP. Ordered a teepee and from a place that is an authentic place, and the poles arrived on Friday or whatever, and they're big, they're like 18 feet probably, and yeah,
teepee size. It's not like an IKEA freaking teepee. And it's teepee size.
I have like a huge lawn, like huge, with no house on it. Well, it's a tiny house, but huge lawn. And the neighbors are lucky because there's no house on it, so they have a view also. Anyway, poles arrive, and the neighbor was like, "What you gonna do with those poles?" And I said, "It's for a teepee." And he was like, "Oh, they're really big. If you need them cut down, I know a guy."
little hint.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So then I called Dave.
By the way, before you're done, for those of you who know, Anastasia's place is roughly the size, you know, when you drive up to a Home Depot and they have those prefab like sheds out front, like that size. Go ahead. Your actual apartment is like the size of one of those two prefab.
And they still hate it. The neighbors hate this place because it's like
it's a cute place, though. It's cute.
Yeah, but they hate it because it blocks a portion of their view. Whatever.
It was there before they were.
Is it new construction?
It was there before they were.
It's like 1910.
Yeah. That's like the person who moves in over a bar and is like, it's loud.
This bar is loud. Yeah.
Also, I'm really quiet. I like, don't do anything. What am I going to do by myself? Anyway, so I called Dave and I'm like, oh my God, Dave, this is what they said. What am I going to do? You know, and Dave. What did you say?
You're going to say it. I can't say it. I just said that, like, so, you know, Nastasia and her dad have been doing their genetics research and they, you know, came back with, I forget what was the exact thing?
My dad is 40% Native American. So.
Right. But it wasn't a specific group or
Apache.
No?
Apache.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah. So like, yeah, I was like, Nastasia, you could totally just make them feel terrible. You could totally just, you know.
Yeah. It's just,
we just got the results back and we're celebrating, you know, confirming the heritage that we always said that we have. We're celebrating.
Just don't
and then, like,
have to
the person
there.
Could be like, you told, but you do. You
no,
specifically
I don't, Dave.
Do.
No, I don't. I don't want to go there. Like, I.
You want
really
to make them squirm.
It.
You want to make them squirm.
I know
like,
that
a,
they're
like,
going to send me a ton of texts and not be upfront, you know, about this teepee. And it's.
First of all, people. If you're dealing with Nastasia or really anyone, don't go passive.
Yeah.
Go full.
Go full aggressive.
Don't go passive. Yeah. Go full.
Yeah.
Is the teepee actually, like,
it's
is it going
18
to
feet.
Really obstruct
no.
their view?
No.
Yeah, but how far away is their house? I mean, like, you know.
It's like very, like, I don't know.
I mean,
like,
Matt, have you seen a real...
Right,
have
John. You can imagine.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Well,
yeah. Oh, there we go.
Before we get into this, how big is the bottom spread going to be?
Twelve feet diameter.
12 foot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not insubstantial.
I know.
It's a 12 foot diameter, 18 foot high.
It's all relative. It's all relative.
Yeah.
Isn't it technically going to be a little shorter than 18 feet anyways, because they're all going to be at an angle?
Right, yes. Yes, yeah. It is. I said that to
them. You know what? Very, John, you're very, what's it called? Very soothing presence in these kind of things.
I'm dreading this.
Is this
listen, also
is setting this thing up next to your house going to make you feel like your house is even smaller?
It's going to be far away, like underneath.
Well, the real problem is that she can't have it blowing into the sound. That's the real issue.
Well, I told them, I called the TP company, told them about the winds, and they said, no problem. This is what they're made for. Yeah.
I told you that wasn't going to be a problem because they're out on the plains where the winds are a billion miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But
dreading.
You're not.
Dreading.
You're secretly loving it. The same way
because these
that,
people
you know,
and John, you know, are super waspy. So they'd say things in very passive ways, very passive. And
well, you could threaten to decorate the outside of the TV.
It is decorated.
Oh.
It's a whole move. Like that. It's a scene of like a Native American killing a buffalo. So
it's very strong. It's very strong stuff. I bet you can't wait to make your first fire in it. You got to figure out how to work the fire flap.
I read the books you gave me. So it's creating a vacuum. You have to create a vacuum. Also, I got the upstairs fireplace to work thanks to you.
So. Yeah, yeah. By the way, for those of you that don't use your fireplaces. And you haven't, like if you live in a place where the fireplace hasn't been used for a long time, it is a good idea to get it checked first. And I would get it checked in the summertime because that's when chimney sweeps don't have a lot of business. Otherwise, like if you call during burning time, it's very hard to get a chimney sweep to come out and check your stuff. But I think that the main problem that a lot of people have with bad draws is they don't put something real quick burning to get some heat into the flue. As soon as the flue gets hot, it'll start to draw, you know? Anyways.
When I had that's the guy look cents. At my fireplace in my, because the fireplace upstairs is in the bedroom, the guy came up and he was like, oh, why do you need it to work? It's not like you're going to be looking at the fire in here anyway, right? I was like, oh,
you're like,
get out.
Suck it, buddy. Fix my fireplace. I hate it when people tell me what I should or shouldn't be doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the things you gave is when someone's like, if you're carrying like a lot of boxes of liquor, like it is always happening at the FCI, what does somebody say?
What? Like, oh, wait. Oh yeah. Oh,
if you
oh my
need
God.
Me to taste
oh Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, if you need help, taste it. Oh, here's some more things we hate, people. John got another angry freaking email this morning from someone all bent like a freaking pretzel about us not having freaking Searsalls for sale. Buddy, die. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you giving John crap about something he already feels bad about as though we're organizing our business going sinking like the freaking Titanic just so that you can't get your Searsall? Like, who thinks that that's a thing? You know what I'm saying?
What was the exact thing he said, John? It was real douchey. What did he say?
Super snarky. Hold up. Let me pull it up. He's just for everyone's record, too. He's been emailing me since December 16th.
Yeah. Yeah, that's because
right.
Another
month has gone by. Still no Searsall. We're now in what? The fourth month of unavailability? Any update? As per your previous emails, can you please define quote unquote soon? Thanks.
Wow. It's not like we're doing this because we like it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what, Stas? Why don't we shut down our whole source of revenue for a quarter of a year just to shaft this one person?
Right.
Yeah, and it's a real long con to have started this business just to get this guy.
No, but only people knew like the angry conversations between, internally, like externally, with like all, you know, so it's not healthy. Yeah.
Is there a Searsall page on Amazon that says it's like unavailable?
They wiped it.
Yeah.
There are pages.
But I thought, like, okay, you
knock-offs.
Could fill that out with whatever you want to say to those people.
No. There's pages for the knockoffs, though. So there's that. That's good. All right, hold up. So, John, you said you had some information on crab being the new poke, or no?
Well, no. You said you're the one who wanted to talk about it.
I wanted people to write in and tell me why they think the crab restaurants are a thing now. And someone sent me on Twitter like a really cool word, which I'll forget, but it's something like. Carcinization. I can't pronounce it without. I have to see it in front of me. But it's like the co-evolution of the parallel evolution of crab-like features in different decapod crustacean lines. Cool word. I wish I could remember exactly how to pronounce it without looking at it. Whereas I have other words where I know how to pronounce them but couldn't spell them if you asked me to. You know what I'm saying? Weird.
The meaning of this word is like independently a bunch of organisms trend towards these same traits. Is that the idea?
Right, but they're all crabs. Yeah, look it up. It's like carcinization. You look it up and you tell me. Look it up, you tell me. Also, when you guys, if you guys are going to be getting in, because it's bug season coming up soon, if you are getting large amounts of grains and flours in, and you have a vacuum machine, it is a very good application for a vacuum, because a good tight vacuum seal will kill anything that's alive, not bacteria, but will kill bugs and whatnot. So vac down your stuff as soon as you get it. I have 45 pounds of soft red wheat that just showed up and about 15 pounds of bloody butcher corn that I'm going to be messing around with. And so as soon as we get off the phone, actually not as soon as we get off the phone, because Nastasia has me doing another phone call as soon as we get off the phone. But right after that, I'm going to be spending my birthday vacuuming down sack after sack after sack of wheat. So, anyway, good tip.
Yeah, you can actually, also freeze. Matt, we need to end it right at one today, so.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese. My name is Samantha Garner, and I'm from Boston, Massachusetts. I'm a Cheeselandian because I take cheese seriously, just like they do in Wisconsin. Cheeselandia is a community for loud and proud cheese lovers brought to life by Wisconsin Cheese. I know that I can always cook amazing food with their cheese, and it's even good enough just to snack on. As a Cheeselandia member, I know there is always a supportive community behind me who always gets as excited as I do about cheese. Go to cheeselandia.com to learn more, and if it's for you, sign up. Check us out on Instagram at Cheeselandia.
By the way, before we started the radio show today, someone in the background had someone lifting something so heavily that I could hear the hernia. Who was it?
Not me.
Oh.
One of you in the background right before the bean.
No.
Bean,
it was, It was that was on my end, and it was I hope that guy's okay. So actually, like, the miracle thing happened, which was that they were doing construction right next to me, and then it stopped just in time for the show and has stopped this entire time. Like, they must have taken their lunch break. Although I hadn't put it together that the very last thing I heard from them was like, so like, maybe someone is actually very injured next door. I probably should be looking.
Someone's intestine has popped through their abdominal wall.
Yeah.
And is like flapping around like a tapeworm right now.
And I was just like, oh my good luck. They stopped.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Because they're in the hospital, dude. Geez, Louise. All right. From Sargon via email. Hey, Nastasia. This came to you, Nastasia. I heard Dave's chamber vacuum hijinks after baking bread. I've been looking at a chamber vac upgrade to my current setup, which is a Foodmaster. Any recommendations for relatively small home space? So the one that I use is a mini pack, but I have to say I only really have experience with mini packs and with, essentially, I have experience with Burkle's mini packs and multivacs, but they're all like kind of the expensive professional ones and they're real pricey. I like the mini vac ones for mini pack ones for size to benefit ratio. Especially their smaller oil ones, I think are very good size for a home kitchen. And they have a nice dome top, so you can get pretty big stuff in for their size. But I don't have a lot of experience with anything kind of less expensive than that. But, you know, and I haven't bought one in many, many years, but it always used to be, you know, mini pack was a little bit of the underdog compared to multivac. And so they would give you better customer service, whereas the multivac people didn't care whether or not you bought their stuff or not. They had that real kind of German kind of attitude about it. So, I always pushed for mini pack whenever I could. I heard they were releasing a new unit, but I haven't seen it yet. So I can't say anything about it. Crafted Grog wrote in via Instagram. Hey, Dave, I just started Liquid Intelligence and I'm enjoying it. At least that's back in stock. At least I'm personally selling something, right? Nastasia, you know, I think it's back in stock. I guess so. So mean. On my birthday yet. Hey, Dave, just started Liquid Intelligence and I'm enjoying it. So not like Nastasia. Well, you enjoyed it. It keeps hot things hot and cold things cold.
Yeah, I left it at someone's house, though. So.
Oh, Jesus. Did I inscribe it to you? Probably.
Yeah.
You're such a jagweed.
The next time that guy brings something over for a potluck,
someone can sell that for a lot of money.
Yeah. By the way, if you go on Urban Dictionary and look up jagweed, the person who defined jagweed misspelled douche. What a jagweed. So how long would one have to boil, say, a standard 80-proof spirit like an aged rum or even liquor to completely remove the alcohol? Also, would some of the flavor of the rum or liquor be removed too? Thanks. Yes, much of the flavor will be removed. You're going to be removing most of the aromatic compounds because that's why they're aromatic. You boil them off, right? And so, if you boil for a long time, that's going to happen. Also, it depends on what you mean by completely, right? So, when you're doing testing for alcohol levels, what they tend to do is they take a sample, they boil it down to a third of its volume, and then they re-dilute it back up to full volume to test when they're doing tests of, for instance, alcohol versus sugar and things like that. It's quite a lot. And you're still never going to get down to zero because there's always kind of a differential partial pressure. So it's not like you're boiling something and only the alcohol comes off and then only the water. So you never get down to 0.00000, but nothing is 0.00. Like, there's yeast everywhere making alcohol at all times. For practical purposes, I would probably say that if you reduce by half, you're going to get rid of most of it. And then, like I say, for testing purposes, they reduce to 1/3 typically. Did I answer that question?
Yes, go on.
All right. Nikki J, 93, year I graduated from college. When people write 93, that's usually the year of their, when they write a year, that's the year of their birth typically, right?
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right with our listener person demographic. Go.
I don't mean that, but I mean, in general, that's how people choose their names. Or no?
Yeah. Unless at a certain age, you might do like high school graduation year or something if you're quite young.
Oh, geez.
Like when it's ahead of you.
What does the six in Nikki Six mean?
That's his last name.
In the real life?
Yeah. He took his like stepdad. I can't remember, but yes, it's a real last name.
I looked up this morning a blues musician. Check out this person's name. Ready for it? Houston Stackhouse. How awesome is that name?
Nice.
Yeah. Nikki J 93. Hey Dave, fan of the podcast. So sorry about existing conditions. Was my favorite bar in the city. Well, maybe some, I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. Or as my grandma's parrot, which may or may not still be alive, Gunther, not Gunther, Gunther. You would say he used to say two things that he would mumble, right? I don't want to. And I don't want to.
Wait, no, Dave, that's not true.
Well, talk about the accident. I tried to get him to curse. What? Which one? Oh, wait. He would squawk, right? So like, he would like Gunther. So we were driving from like LAX to Mount St. Helens in like a very underpowered motorhome. This has got to be 1984, right? 83, 84, something like this, and. We got two dogs, a vicious chow, Taffy. I think I said this before, the only animal whose death I celebrated with a drink. When this dog died, I went out for cocktails, celebrated, spent more money than I had at the time in college because this was the meanest dog that I have ever encountered in my life. And in fact, my stepfather, the shrink, said that like it's the only animal model for schizophrenia he's ever seen.
Wow. Right?
So like this dog was mean. So mean, in fact, and I make it a habit to not be mean to animals, right? Whenever Grandpa would have Taffy, it was a chow, right? It's pictured, big chow. When Grandpa would have Taffy on a leash, when Grandpa would look away, I would make a face at Taffy. Taffy would bark. Grandpa would yank the chain. I was like, and one of the reasons I hated this dog so much was because we're in the motorhome. And for those of you that have never been in a 80s vintage kind of motorhome, like above the driver, there's like a little like attic space, right? And that was the bed where I slept, right? And because Grandma and Grandpa, they would pick up the table in the back that had the map of the America on it. And then they would put the table down and that would become their bed. You guys familiar? You know the
yes.
setup I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So anyway, middle of the night. And this is why I think, by the way, I can hold myself on a 14-hour plane flight. Like, to this day, like, I can get on a 14-hour plane flight, and I do not need to use the restroom if I don't want to, right? And it's because this dog would not let me pee at night. I would try to swing my leg over to get down. And I didn't want to wake Grandma and Grandpa up to, like, you know, even though they were only, like, 10 feet from me because they're in the back of the motorhome. And so to this day, I hold a grudge. I can hold a grudge on not being allowed to pee. But again, Taffy maybe taught me a valuable lesson. But that's not the story. So Gunther. So Gunther used to have this thing where if you left him alone, he would start saying, love you, love you, love you, honey, honey, honey. And then if you didn't answer, it would just go, ah, ah, ah. So, like, we're going up, like, the, you know, Big Sur area, like that Pacific Coast Highway, like, you know, it's like a cliff, you fall off of it. We're in a motorhome. Grandpa's only doing like 1 mile an hour, so cars are going in that tiny lane around us, you know what I mean? Nightmare. Super underpowered Dodge. Nightmare. Anyway, so we're going around and we start hitting these bumps, right? And Grandpa can't do anything, he can't pull off nothing because we're on the Pacific Coast Highway. And all of a sudden, Gunther, who during the day is in my bed up above the, you know, the driver, the cage goes, boom, falls off of his thing, hits the ground. Gunther starts running and flapping up and down the motorhome with the two dogs going, love you, love you, like they're like screaming. We're on the Pacific Coast Highway. And my grandma also then starts going, like, my grandma basically sounded like the parrot. So if you closed your eyes, you didn't know whether you were hearing my grandma or whether you were hearing the parrot. And in fact, my stepfather once thought that he was catching grandma and grandpa doing it. And it was the parrot. It was the parrot screaming love you in the morning. And Gerard, my stepfather, was like, hey, hey. Pretty good. I hope I'm still going this way when I'm their age. You know what I mean? Hey, go for it. Anyway, it turns out it was the parrot. But I don't even know how. So the other thing is that the parrot would constantly mumble, nah, I don't want to. Because anyway, so like whenever I mumble like that, I do the parrot mumble or like, you know, no, you know, I don't know. He would say, I don't know. I don't want to. But my grandma didn't want the parrot to say anything negative. Which, you know, again, the parrot hated me, so, like, I couldn't teach it anything because I tried to teach it curses constantly because I was a teenage boy. And, but, like, she would always say that instead of saying, I don't want to, because he would always torture my grandpa and make him do stuff he didn't want to do and say that he didn't mind. Richard doesn't mind. She would say that all the time. Like, grandpa would be sitting there reading some garbage pulp novel because that's the only thing he actually liked doing. And someone else would be like lifting something and she'd be like, Richard will lift that for you. Richard doesn't mind. And he's like, nah. And it's because grandma hated reading. Grandma hated reading and learning.
This is your so mom's she, mom?
Yeah. Terrible. Yeah. 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 So anyway, so and then I guess grandpa would mumble. And then, so then the parrot learned, I don't want to, but grandma wouldn't accept that the parrot was saying that it didn't want to. So she would say, Old Dean Witter. And we're like, who the hell is Dean Witter? And she was trying to retrain the bird into saying this nonsense, Old Dean Witter. When I've still, to this day, I have no idea what Old Dean Witter is. Or why they named it Gunther instead of calling it Gunter, which would be the actual German name. I mean, who ever calls anyone? It's not Hillbillies. Gunther Gable Williams. Hey, they lived in San Bernardino. They're that kind of hillbilly.
No, I know.
But, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. They moved from San Bernardino to Hemet. Jose, all right.
I think we're mid-question, but you have like five minutes.
5 minutes, right. Steve.
Nikki J93 has a question. I don't want. What is the best binding agent for breading / frying? Some recipes call for egg, milk, buttermilk, or some combination thereof. Was curious on your view for the best crunchy crust on some breaded and fried stuff, chicken, tofu, etc. Thanks. Nikki J, this is an incredibly complicated question, and one, in fact, that I'm working on right now. And there is no one best combination. You have to think about what you are trying to do. When you say breading, right, do you mean that you wish to have actual breadcrumbs? Think about, you need to come back to me on the next show, and you need to tell me, give me a target, right? So there's schnitzel-style crust, which is like made typically with European or what we call ABC, American breadcrumbs. There's more tonkatsu style, which is breaded. There's reasons to use cracker meal, although it's not very used in regular kind of home cooking. And you're gonna be thinking about what you want the texture of the coating to be, and then also like what the parameters are. Are you going to do a pre-dust? I typically do a pre-dust in straight flour, then into a buttermilk, egg, baking soda, baking powder, and the soda is there, but it'll brown rapidly. So if you're doing big things, you want to like scale back the soda to keep it acidic, and then back into flour. But I want like crispy and crispy. If you want something that's crispy on the outside but more tempura-like, you wouldn't re-bread afterwards. You would use a heavier pre-dust and then a batter. So you, like, it's very complicated, and I'm working on it right now for the book. So come back with kind of more exactly what you want, and we can tailor the answer to more what you need. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Instead of going to a question, let's leave it with something happy for birthday reasons.
Okay. You got something happy?
What's one of our favorite stories or something we haven't told? Come on. Think. What's one of the best birthdays you've ever had? And why?
Well, that 40th birthday was fun.
Yeah.
You were there. Jen was there. We had the whole crew was at the FCI. That was a good birthday party.
Yeah.
It was a good birthday party. Jen's 40th birthday party was also a great birthday party. That was at Del Posto back in the day. Mark made his 8 billion layer lasagna, which doesn't actually have 100 layers, right?
Well, there's a lot of Mark fallacies that we've learned.
It's like, this is the way Mark Ladner counts. 13, 14, 100.
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, it's many layers. It was a thin pasta, many-layered lasagna. Mm-hmm. But 100 sounds better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll tell you this. I'll give you this, okay? So my dad, for my 50th birthday, sent me the pocket watch. And, of course, because my family is like – engineers, right? So my dad's an engineer. My grandpa was an engineer, both double E. My grandpa was the first graduate of Penn State's radio engineers department and went directly to Westinghouse to design radars for World War II. Anyway, so because of that, of course, he has a spare. He gave me my great grandpa Clarence's pocket watch. And sometime back in like the 40s, when my grandpa got it, he bought a spare identical unit in case this one ever broke so that he could swap out the parts. Classic Arnold engineering family kind of thinking. So he sends me this pocket watch, which is a railroad style, Hamilton railroad style pocket watch from 1916. So right in between when my great uncle Luke was born and when my grandpa was born. And great-grandpa Clarence, I never met him. He died before I was born, but he was a Lutheran minister in Pennsylvania and in Baltimore, all over Pennsylvania, York, Baltimore, over in college, State College, over by, Penn State. And so the railroad watches are interesting because you can't set them without opening them up because they were afraid on the railroad that you might accidentally set it while you were winding it and then get the time wrong and then you'd have all kinds of problems. So he would take this watch before every sermon and he would put it down on the pulpit in front of him to remind himself that, in his words, you don't save anyone after the first 15 minutes.
Bye.
And that's it. That's it. You only have 15 minutes and then people tune out. Now imagine. Now it's probably 15 seconds.
Yes.
So it's like, in he graduated seminary probably in the 20s maybe the teens or 20s. The teens. He graduated in the teens, and so back then you had a full 15 minutes to save people. So now, if you want to get anything done, if you want to save people, get your information across, just bear that in mind. Put the watch down, and that's it. Yeah.
Happy birthday!
Nice.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Cooking issues. Issues is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.